Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in a beautiful, beautiful Chamber of Commerce day in the big city of Houston, Texas, as we have Nick, Barry, and myself kicking it around on a lot of different topics. RIP, by the way, Hank Steinbrenner. I don't want Astros fans to do what Yankees fans would probably do in a case like this, but one of the Steinbrenner children, owner that combined to own the New York Yankees, after a series of medical issues, passed away at 63. Today. So RIP to Hank Steinbrenner. Never good to hear any kind of stories like that. So they said it is not coronavirus related, but definitely something. Hal Steinbrenner is the more vocal of the two brothers, and he continues to be the chairman of the Yankees. There you go with that.
So they said not coronavirus related, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I saw, who was it? Who was the bat? Was it Carl Anthony Towns?
Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah, remember we talked about it yesterday. You had put the audio, for us about, I think it was at the end of March.
I feel like it was a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, a real emotional plea to pray for her because she was struggling. And, a month later, a lot of people thought because the time had passed that she was recovering. And unfortunately, Jackie, I believe is her name, she passed away in her 50s. So that's another tragedy there. So very sad news.
Yeah, man. It's weird that that's the times that we're living in where when somebody elderly or older, the first thing people want to know was coronavirus related.
Yeah.
Was it,
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, the other thing is it's crazy. Chris Cuomo, because we keep, we talk about him because he actually has it. And a couple of days ago, I told you guys it looked like he was getting over it. He looked like he was almost back to himself. So Lisa was watching CNN last night, and I was watching that Tiger King special. And she came in, and she's like, "You got to put this on." And he was sweating. And he had said, he had been talking about how it gets so bad sometimes that you almost like you're hallucinating, but you're saying things that you might not even remember you said. You see things that you think are there that aren't. And then he has an XM radio show. He went off, and it's similar to the stuff we deal with from time to time, but he went off because he said different than what we deal with and the fact that we can respond. Because he works for CNN, he went on his show and he said, getting over this, I want to do what I feel is the right thing for me going forward in every step of my life. I'm not sure my job is. And he went on to say, in part, though, I don't think he was trying to bash that he's got a hell of a job with CNN. He was basically saying, look, my wife and I were out with my family, and a guy riding a bike just decided to stop and invade my personal space, get up all on me, and just start ripping me to shreds. And because of where I work and because I'm a public figure, I can't respond to him. I can't say a word. And this dude was just going off. And he said, and I can't deal with that. And he had told a couple other stories. Now, it's funny that he then goes on the show to talk about how this virus is so bad with the fever and the temperature that sometimes you have a tendency to say things without knowing what you were saying, almost as if to say, hey, CNN, I still want the millions of dollars. But we can relate from the fact, one, getting back to what we were talking about with the coronavirus, you just don't know, because there's a lot of people that are asymptomatic. There's a lot of people that are going to say, I never had it. And then they're going to get tested at some point and go, actually, you did. You just never had any of the symptoms. But there's other people that obviously it's taking people's lives at a very high rate. And it's so the scary is the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have someone like this, and we talked about how CNN, this is just a huge ratings win for them because they have someone dealing with it so that every single day you're living it with him. But I also relate to the fact that, you know, we, for all the good of the suspects, you know, we still, with the ways to reach us, we still have people that talk out of their ass and say too much sometimes. So the only difference
is we respond.
So
that's the thing is everyone's like, oh, why do you always respond? Well, why not? If they get to say it, why don't we get to respond? Damn the high road. Let's have some fun. Let's get down in the mud and talk crap about each other. Let's do it.
Yeah. He said, basically, my job is pointless and I can't stand it while he was on his radio show. I hope that was the fever talking, because I'm sure you could stand it when the millions of dollars are being direct deposited in your account on the 1st and the 15th. I don't like what I do professionally, I've decided. I don't value indulging irrationality, hyper-partisanship. I don't think it's worth my time anymore. Are you resigning? You got to be real careful, big boy.
Oh, yeah, man. I get it. I wouldn't either. That would drive me nuts to have to toe a company line and a party line like that instead of just being honest and giving your opinion. If he had feelings that leaned the opposite way, there's no way that they would let him say it or air it. So it's kind of sucks, and
I've told you guys, like, he prides himself on not taking a Democratic or Republican position. He wants to almost keep politics out of it. But he said he doesn't enjoy trafficking in things that he thinks are ridiculous. And he went on to say he doesn't want to talk about, you know, Democrats or Republicans, you know, or whatever the case may be when it's network related. He just wants to be able to do something that he feels is meaningful, that he enjoys. And he doesn't enjoy the fact that, you know, people always want to make it political. And he said when he has guests that are Dems or Republicans, he's tired of all the minutia that they bring. So I don't blame him for that either.
Yeah, it would get old. It would get old real fast. And so I do understand it. But, you know, I mean, he knew what he was signing up for.
Absolutely. And like I said, the other thing is he knows what that looks like when the check shows up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think you say it's not worth your time anymore. It's worth your money. Because you got, you know, there's a reason why he was talking about last night about I have the ability to do this from a nice house and I can isolate from my family and still be comfortable. So, well, there's a reason why, Chris, because you're making good cash.
Yeah, you're doing well for yourself. Don't blow it. But he's apparently, and I like the angle of, oh, it's the fever. The fever's making me crazy. Yeah. Is it though? Is it?
Yeah, you know, to say that I'm basically being perceived as successful in a system that I don't value. These are things that are not just small red flags. These are monster red flags for your employer, especially with who CNN is.
Well, and then the question becomes, where does he go, right? Like, if he wanted to get out, he's obviously not going to go to Fox because it's the same thing. But what do you do at that point? There's obviously a market for political discussion with a slant, because Fox's ratings have never been higher. Fox News's ratings have never been higher than they are right now. And in fact, CNN's ratings are suffering significantly.
And according to Lisa, which I wasn't aware of, he's already been on either Good Morning America or one of the...
He was absolutely on Good Morning America. Yep.
So, you know, that at a certain point, now you start putting, you know, wearing tread off the tire. Now you've gotten, you know, a couple of places. And so opportunities are a little bit more limited. And people hiring you don't want a retread that many times over. Mm-hmm. So now the only thing I thought of very right away was, with his brother being governor of New York and getting all this positive pub about everything that's going, the way he's handling everything, and they're saying that he was even contemplating a late run for presidency this year, maybe he dips his toe in the water and says, let's make it a brotherly thing, you know, vice president, or he gets involved in some way, shape, or form with his brother.
I doubt that though. I think if you're his brother, you're like, yeah, bro, you stick to TV, I'll stick to politics.
Yeah, well, and he backtracked today. I just was reading a story from the Florida Post that says he came on his radio show to say, I didn't mean it that way. talking about CNN and his job. He said he no longer, after saying he no longer had interest in trafficking in things that I think are ridiculous. And then he said, talking to Democrats about things I don't really believe they mean, talking to Republicans about them parroting things they feel they have to say. But Tuesday he claimed it wasn't about CNN. It wasn't about me wanting to leave my job. You know, he said critics have shot back, but I said, you know, it's how I meant it, and I know how I meant it. My frustrations about journalism and being worthy enough is what I meant. So, you know, of course, I think someone – his wife probably went down and goes – probably threw something down the stairs last night because he's not allowed out of the basement and said, I'm going shopping. Fix this so that I don't have to worry about putting things on the card.
Hey, dumbass. You're messing with our check. Knock it off.
Exactly.
Oh, my bad, baby. My bad. I'm just so frustrated. It doesn't matter. I like nice things. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So you want a job that you feel is more fulfilling, rewarding, and worthwhile. All right, so you're driving the snow cone truck and taking care of kids in the neighborhood, but essentially you're living in a one-bedroom apartment instead of the shack that you're living in with the bank account you got now. You make the call.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing just fine. Just shut up and dribble.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? Ironically, which is crazy, especially since we're so far along in the election, but that's legit that he even pressed his brother a week ago that there was real consideration for the governor of New York stepping in this late in the game to try and run for president because of all the positive pub he got off of this handling of the virus.
Yeah, I just don't see that ever happening.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So, well, there's a little info there, a little non-sports because we were pretty sportsy in hour number one, but we still got plenty more to get to. And if there's something that kind of strikes a fancy with you or you have on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. It's hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Drawback alert for doing the shows from home, fellas. In that break, I decided to use the facilities. I came out of my office. Taylor yelled, "Hi, Dad." Not thinking anything about it, I responded back. And then I heard Lisa make really weird noises like a car that wouldn't start, amongst other things. It sucks to find out mid-pee that you've awakened the baby because you had no idea the baby was sleeping with the door closed, two doors down, and all I was doing responding to my daughter at the house, but now I am what you would say a horse's behind.
So what, you way urinated to go, and you Joel. Woke up the baby by urinating?
So I'm on my way to the bathroom. I come out of my office with the door shut. Taylor goes, "Hi, Dad." And I said, "Hi, Tay-Tay, I see you're doing your schoolwork. How's it going?" And I hear coming from the kitchen. I was like, what is she doing? And I was like, "Hey, Tay, I noticed that you changed. Did you spill or something like that?" And she's like, "Are you kidding me?" And all of a sudden I hear, nyeh! And I went, oh boy. Yep. Oh, she's like, boy. Yep.
That's never yep. not going to be great.
Pretty oh, much. Boy. She's like, "I finally got the baby to sleep, and I'm able to eat lunch, and now she's awake." And I was like, yep, had no idea. My bad.
Screwed that up, Joel.
I kind of did. Not that I ever would have known, but I'll take that one.
I thought you woke up the baby from, like, peeing too loud. Like, what are you, peeing no. prostate? Like, how loud is your pee? Like,
no.
That's what I thought.
I mean.
Dude, that would be even better. Oh, yeah. That would be so much better.
I mean, you know, the water cannons for the pool time play. You know, you just never know the power. Yeah, so I went back in the office real quickly and shut the doors going, at least we've got more than half the show to go, so hopefully it'll all blow over and the baby will go back to sleep.
You think she'll get over it that fast?
Yep. Oh, in this well. Well, it's on the shoulders of Madison now. If she goes back to sleep pretty soon, I'm good. If now she's up for the rest of the afternoon,
you're maybe in not. Trouble.
Yeah. Maybe That's running funny. With the stroller today. Just oh. don't know.
Yeah, that would be punishment, right?
Yeah, that ain't happening.
No.
Where are you guys, by the way? I thought I'd throw this out, but we've talked about all the different broadcasting wars and everything like that. Were you guys a Dan Fouts fan? I didn't even realize Dan no. Fouts and Ian Eagle were the number two CBS team behind your boy. I think it's behind your boy Kevin Harlan, right?
Yeah. I think Kevin Harlan is CBS. Is were Dan they were number two?
Yeah.
I Dan love Fouts Eagle. And Eagle's Eagle legit.
We're number yeah. two. And Ian Eagle obviously also does Nets games. He's all over the place doing, and he works for CBS doing college basketball as well as football. And he's versatile. He's talented. So I'm with you, Nick, that he does a good job. I've always thought Dan Fouts does a really good job. I don't think that he tries to make it about him. I don't think that, you know, he has a lot of quirky things or things like that rub people the wrong way, like, say, a Collinsworth or Phil Simms or guys like that. I was fine with him, but it turns out CBS wasn't. He goes from the number two analyst with CBS to being basically said, you gone, there's the door, don't let it hit you on the way out, as CBS hired Charles Davis from Fox to work with Eagle and be the number two team.
Oh.
I'm not a huge Charles Davis fan. I think Charles Davis has done NFL because a lot of times he would get Packer games because I believe his dad played for the Packers. But Charles Davis to me was just like, blah, nothing big. No big deal, but CBS hired him away from Fox, made him the number two, and basically said, told Fouts he was done.
I was never a big Fouts guy, so it doesn't bother me all that much.
I like Charles Davis. I don't think he's that bad.
Yeah, but Fouts is like, I could have taken him or leaving him. He didn't really do it for me, so I'm not all tore up about it.
I think Charles Davis is better on college football than he is on the pro game.
That's where he started, too.
Yeah, and then He called the national championship in college, playoff games in the pros when he was with Fox, and that's where his popularity began to put him on the fast track and on the rise. So now they're saying with him leaving Fox, he had worked with Kevin Burkhardt, who I'm not a huge fan of. They're saying Greg Olsen, the tight end, he's playing one more year, but kind of like in a Drew Brees type deal, they're kind of eyeing him. He's filled in on ESPN before to where they think he might be a guy in the long term that will get his career start on Fox. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. First of all, I was shocked Fouts was part. That was the number two group on CBS, but also I didn't think he was bad enough that you just get rid of him altogether. I mean, Phil Simms got taken off of doing games and put in the studio, but you know, I think Fouts was decent enough and added enough with his experience that you could have found a home for him instead of just saying, you know, that's it.
I think they do that somewhat based off of, you know, fresh faces. I think some of it is talent, some of it is fresh faces, and some of it is the ratings. You know what I mean? Like, if you're unlucky enough to be doing crappy games all the time, that's going to be a striking, even though you're like, well, yeah, if you would give me the prime games or the best, you know, matchups, then obviously my ratings as an announcer are going to be better too.
Sure. Sure.
But I think a lot of it is just, you know, they're all out there jockeying for, because if you look at it, you think, well, ESPN's getting a lot of run for what are they going to do on Monday Night Football? Obviously CBS gets a lot of run with Tony Romo, but then they get outshined by everything else. So they're like, well, let's make another move. Let's get ESPN got some run. Let's do our thing now. So I could see where they're just it's also a bit of publicity, not a lot, because you're not making moves.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point, because you're probably going to be scrutinized for ratings, but no one is watching or not watching a game because of who's doing the game. As much as I hate Joe Buck, I could turn the volume down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're watching because of the
yeah, you're watching because of what's going on the field. And if it's a dog game, then you're probably going to turn it off regardless of who's calling it. And if it's a good game or a game you're looking forward to, you're going to probably watch it regardless of who's calling it that way too.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one, because you're right. It's not ratings driven, But it is probably ratings critical, where people are going to be more critical of you if your ratings aren't as good. So we'll see how that all plays out. Now, on the flip side, ESPN has announced that they are combining with the NFL Network for all the draft coverage this year. It's all going to be headquartered out of Bristol. And Trey Wingo is going to be the host. And he's going to be joined remotely by Mel Kiper Jr., obviously Lewis Riddick, Booger McFarland, and NFL Network host Rich Eisen, who I like a lot. And of the
love
two,
Rich Eisen.
Wingo and Eisen, I would be good with Eisen doing all 3 days. And then they'll bring in Daniel Jeremiah, Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner, and then sprinkle in Mort Shefty, Susie Culber. So, and then ABC is going to get involved over the weekend. They'll have Reese Davis, Jesse Palmer, and Maria Taylor. Of those three, Maria Taylor.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that as well.
Yeah, I don't. Jesse Palmer can go back to Rooms to Go, and Reese Davis. There's just something about him that I'm like, meh.
Why are you dissing Jesse Palmer's Rooms to Go?
I mean, just let's be honest. Jesse Palmer was okay in college. He did nothing in the pros,
okay, right.
At best, right? He did nothing in the pros, but dude was on The Bachelor, and all of a sudden, he's in the studio, he's doing games, he's got endorsement deals because of who, you know, doing these other things. I'm like, bro, I mean,
why are you are man's hustle?
Dude, hustle? He's rolling it all off of being on The Bachelor.
Yeah, he did that. If he wasn't on The Bachelor, he gets none of that other stuff.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So
that's a fact.
All right, so there's a little broadcasting for you in terms of draft coverage. Not that the Texans need anybody covering them, but they were left off the list in terms of they have Jacina Anderson covering Vikings, Redskins, Browns, Niners. And then Jeff Darlington, he's got four teams. Graziano's got four teams. Down, up and down the list, and no one's covering the Texans because they don't have any draft picks. So don't hold your breath for anybody down on Kirby doing live cut-ins during the draft from that standpoint. But, yeah, I just thought that was interesting, some of the broadcast news that came out.
Yeah, that isn't – I mean, the Fouts thing, he was – how long did he do it for?
Because
he was on there for a while, I want to say.
Yeah, because again, he's done college as well as pro, and I think for quite a while they were using him all over the place, kind of like Ian Eagle from a play-by-play standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it was like that's it.
Yep, been a minute.
I'm trying to see how many years. In the article, the first article doesn't say that, so I'll try and find that for you during the break. All right, we've got plenty more to get to on The Usual Suspects. That's the first half of the show. Second half comes up next. Don't go anywhere, right here on ESPN 97.5. Good doctor,
I wish I knew ya. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. This is the second half of the show. It is Nick, Barry, and myself. Jim, by the way, looking this up, a lot of these things I forgot about. Dan Fouts did Monday Night Football.
I did forget about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's been in broadcast in 1988 through 93. He got it. So in 88, he got his start on the NFL on CBS, working with Jim Nance, Jack Buck, Joe's brother, James Brown, Dick Stockton, Vern Lundquist, and others. He left in 94 to be a sports anchor in his hometown in San Francisco. Then in 97, he returned as an analyst back on TV for ABC with Brent Musburger. So essentially since 88, that's a hell of a run. So he did
hell of a run.
32 years in broadcasting. And he's ABC and CBS. He's called college and pro. He did Monday Night Football. He's been in several movies because of it, including The Waterboy.
I definitely don't remember him in The Waterboy.
He portrayed himself in the football comedy The Waterboy, starring Adam Sandler. Fouts and Musburger appeared late in the film as the ABC sports broadcast team for the fictitious New Year's Day Bourbon Bowl. Easy to miss.
Mm-hmm. The Bourbon Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, when you're talking about 32 years post-NFL career, and has also called Super Bowls on Westwood One Radio for the NFL, dude, I mean, even if he doesn't work again, and you got to believe someone will hire him to do something, but 32 years is a good run.
What do you, who do you think picks him up? Probably not like a Fox, right?
I think more than anything
probably
else.
Probably sticks to radio.
I think he'll do radio for one, and then I think that someone, whether it be regionally or, you know, someone, you know, as one of their broadcast teams doing college football, I could see picking him up because he was an all-American. He played at Oregon, and he was a great college player as well. And you know, he's done enough college games, too, where I would think – honestly, I think that Fox would, you know, even if Fox just said we're not hiring to like we made a trade with Charles Davis, but if Fox hired him just to do college games, I think they could do a lot worse. I think he's good. And so I think whether, you know, something like that or one of the regional sports networks that does, you know, like the regional games with the colleges in their area, he'll find something to do because he's smart enough and good enough that he's not, I don't
Gosh,
think he's done yet.
People like him.
Yeah, there you go. So I just want to look it up in the break to get that out of the way. But Fouts out, Charles Davis in, and there's Dan Fouts' resume, which is pretty impressive.
It is. It certainly is.
Other than that, anything that you that anything we got on social media that we might have missed or any kind of text or tweets? Otherwise, we'll keep rolling.
You know, the text line has been so-so at best. I'll take a gander. I tended to the last couple of days. It's been a little rough on the text line. So
all right. I did see that Julian Edelman and former local sports host Nick Wright got into a little back and forth on social media. Speaking of social media, the
other
day.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge Nick Wright fan. I don't know if y'all are or not. That's everybody's personal opinion, but he definitely has plenty of opinions. And he went out there after the Brady to Tampa Bay signing and basically suggested that if Lions general manager Bob Quinn and their coach Matt Patricia could get Tua Tagovailoa. Could give them to the Patriots, Belichick for the 23rd pick, which would go from the Patriots to the Lions, a third round pick in Julian Bleeping Edelman, then I'm out. Right saying on the show, I'd do it. I don't know if I'll be able to watch this sport again if the deal happens. I can't deal with the idea of it, but he suggested that that would be a trade between the Pats and the Lions. Edelman responded back and said, nice hairline, bro. To Nick Wright. So you would think, you know what?
Edelman didn't even go like, hey, you're the worst, bro. You're a wannabe Jim Rome slash, you know, Stephen A. Smith. He didn't do any of that. He was just like, immediate personal. Your hair sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
but I give Nick Wright credit. Because, you know, you could have just let it, you know, lie and go, okay, I've obviously ruffled his feathers. We'll just try and keep this from going anywhere. Nick Wright responded, Julian, great to hear from you. In the middle of the night, responding to a week-old clip. Yes, the quarantine has been bad for a number of things, not the least of which is my hair situation. Such is life. Congrats on ducking charges for the vandalism and public intoxication rap, though. Because if you missed it, I think it was after the season, Edelman jumped up on a car hood and was jumping around on a car while drunk. And charges were filed, to which the owner of the car said he took care of the damages. I no longer want to proceed with this and dropped the charges. So he got off of that. But Nick Wright made sure to bring that back up.
Not the best comeback ever, but not too shabby. I mean,
no, at least he didn't run from it. At least he made an attempt, right? A lot of guys would just be like, oh, okay, that's Julian Edelman. I'm not messing with that anymore.
Right.
And Nick Wright, look, you know, congratulations on his success. But when he was here locally, I mean, dude, he rubbed me the wrong way because we had never met, and he was out there. Josh Innes and I got into it over something, and it was just
that's so shocking, Josh, right? Innes to get into it, and you to get into it with anyone.
So we were kind of in a back and forth, and I had never met Nick Wright, and he was doing the mornings on 610, and all of a sudden on the air, someone starts texting me going, Nick Wright's talking about you right now. I was like, really? And so I made sure and called Nick Wright, and he didn't answer his phone. And so I left him a message and was like, bro, my name better not be coming out of your mouth because you have never met me before. So until you know me, then you have nothing to do with putting my name out there because I'm not out there putting your name out there. To which he responded, we should do lunch sometime. And I was like, bro, that ship already took off, man. We ain't doing lunch after that. And then that was when CSN Houston was going, which only 40% of Houston got to see. But it was a good product. But I told you guys, they had that live, local, nightly kind of pre-sport, leading into their sports center type show where they had local – I've said this to you guys, but they had every local radio guys on a consistent basis. You'd have been having a lot of extra money in your pocket because they were constantly utilizing local – radio talent to talk about what was going on in Houston sports. And he was on there. And look, I get it. A lot of people just aren't versed with, you know, what to wear on TV and have a wardrobe. But if you're only going to have one sport coat, make it black or blue. Don't make it salmon with a blue plaid in it. Because every time you use it, people remember you're still wearing the same jacket, bro. So those are my memories of Nick Wright.
I only have two jackets. I have several suits, but I only have two like sport coat jackets. I guess I could wear a suit or whatever, and I've done it like once on TV, but I usually just wear navy and black, but I guess that's okay. Cause I switch up the t-shirts and stuff. Cause it's but you're right. Salmon blue or whatever.
Salmon with a blue plaid, like a window plaid, a bigger plaid.
Yeah. Don't do that.
No, and you know, congrats to Nick Wright because, you know, no hate in the game and the fact that, dude, he's gone from, you know, local morning radio host to, you know, national prominence and, you know,
it's
got
pretty
shows
crazy. How does that happen, Joel? You're an insider. You and Nick both have been in this business a lot longer than me and know a lot more about radio. But how does a dude sit there and kind of toil away locally, not even in the biggest market in the country, and then all of a sudden explode onto the scene like he did?
So
you have to know somebody, right? Like,
well, I was
going to
say,
so
here's the thing. So you have to have connections one way or another. So you either have someone that's kind of, you know, been familiar, say for instance, cause Nick Wright was in Kansas City for a long time before he was hired here in Houston. Someone maybe that is now prominent at one of the networks, in this case, Fox, maybe grew up in Kansas City. Or as Fox was, you know, starting to get the prelims going for putting together FS1, they started putting feelers out to say, hey, who do you know that might be a local guy that has the potential to become a national guy? And then people plant seeds. Or you have someone that works there that grew up in Kansas City and or recently was there enough to listen to him and or then Houston. And then said, you know what, if you're going to do this and go through with this whole spinoff FS1 network, I got a guy.
Okay.
And then the tapes, you know, get passed along and you start listening. And because I know that he had been pursued and was kind of waiting for things to really take shape to make sure that the offer from Fox was legitimate. But he had hinted around for a long time that there was something that was coming down the road. And you know, to his credit, you know, he took full advantage of it, and they gave him an offer, and look, he's on TV now every day.
Okay.
So, Barry, this could be just make sure you take care of those that you know, because don't piss off too many people on the text line. You never know if one of them might be an exec from a network.
No, I don't have any desire to do what Nick Wright does. I love what we do. I love radio. I love local radio. I don't have a desire to be, you know, like a Nick Wright on TV doing that kind of thing for sports. I like the lane I'm in right now. I really do.
I think the key is that
we have so much freedom, Joel.
That's where I was going. The key is we're in a situation unlike being the flagship of a team, or even we talked about Cuomo and CNN kind of, you know, tempering what he can say. Boy, you think it's bad there. you know, try being on Fox with Fox being a partner of the NFL and say a disparaging word about anything NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're totally right. In terms of just being able to enjoy sports and express your opinions, this is – it could be a lot worse.
Yep.
Although the paychecks are pretty good, I would think, at FS1. Just throwing it out there. I don't think you're wearing T-shirts and looking for Houston donations if you're on FS1. But, you know, yeah, okay. So we put a pretty high value on being able to speak our minds. We'll continue to roll on. This is hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you. And that other stuff, too.
What is the rubber? That is the rubber. You rub it, the rubber. Rub it, the rubber.
And then you go, yo.
Yo.
Yo. Yo. Yo. Yo. Yo.
So like, right. Wait, I think he said, what's hold on. Now, what is he trying to say about society?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, guys, we talked about it yesterday. We're going to talk about it again right now. If you are bored out of your mind and looking for something to do on Saturday, the ESPN folks here, led by our own Courtney, and as well as Fred Fowler and Jerry Bow, are putting together another poker tournament. It was so successful, they raised over $2,000 for charity last week. They're going to do it again this week, this Saturday, April the 18th, 2 p.m. ESPN 97.5 Sports Map are putting on the second Houston Online Poker Charity Classic. First tournament was a huge success, as I mentioned, so they said they had to do it again. Tournament's going to be $50 with an optional $10 donation, which will go to two charities, Kids Meals, which delivers food to children in the Houston area, and Southeast Texas Food Bank in Beaumont. For more information and to register for the poker tournament, head to the editor's picks on sportsmap.com or email promotion@galmedia.com, and you can get involved in the tournament this Saturday. Hurry, as I don't know how many spots they have, but this was a fantastic success, and we encourage you all to get involved and do it again.
I really want to get in on one of those. I might have to wrap up one of the things I do at 7 early just because I want to hop in. But I tried to install the app on my Mac. For some reason, I had a problem. So I need to get that.
Whoa. I'm sorry. What?
Huh? Huh? What?
Little IT issue again. Nick, that would be like his second IT
issue. Second or third, I feel like.
Second or third in the last just a few weeks.
No, this was the same IT issue that we talked about earlier.
I don't know.
What was the other IT issue I had, Joel? Do you remember?
Barry, I don't even remember what you corrected me on that blocked me on Twitter, so I'm definitely not going to remember how many issues you've had on IT.
Well, then that just means you're out here just making up things. There's no way I had an IT issue.
Is it because you can remove Pornhub viruses from PCs, but you don't know how to do it on the Mac? Is that what it is, Barry?
Boy, you are welcome back.
Attaboy, Nick. Team Blank, Nick. Appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
You know what? You need to cough up that liquor at some point because I'm about to jump off Team Blake and be Team Nick. I'll tell you that right now.
Wait, are you threatening me? Are you trying to bully me online? I'm not going to stand for that, man.
I just haven't seen any liquor. I haven't seen a drop. Not a drop.
First of all, that's not a statement on the planet. Whether I supply it or not, I'm pretty sure you've seen plenty of liquor since this whole thing started. So don't give me that.
I bought for myself.
Well, but you've
Team
seen
Nick.
Well, you know, you always have to take care of yourself first, Nick, as they say. So
did you enjoy any of that? That was a nice cabin of selection there. I mean,
man,
did you enjoy any
not.
Of it?
I was going to drop off the smaller bottle of Crown brand new because it's still in the box and I'm not going to use it. So I figured, you know, during this pandemic, in case you run out of booze like you run out of freaking paper towels,
thanks to Barry, by the way.
I gave him credit. Stop it. I already gave him credit for it. Just stop it. It was yesterday.
Came through in the clutch.
Yeah. I hope that helped.
It did. I've used it all.
Already?
Already, but yeah.
No, I got liquor shamed the other day by AJ Hoffman. Big surprise.
Why?
Like, why do you care how I drink my whiskey? Because I posted a picture of three different bottles of Crown that I have. And I was like, this will be the most important decision I make in 2020. Now, obviously, this was not a tweet about liquor. It was a joke, meaning I'm not voting for the president of the United States. The more important decision is my alcohol selection. That was the whole nuance of the joke. It had nothing to do with the alcohol or anything like that, right? But, of course, that's missed on everybody. But then he goes, why do you buy the good stuff if you're just going to dump a bunch of Diet Coke in it? And I was like, why do you care how I drink it? You don't have to drink it. So he alcohol shamed me. And then people just started piling on, and it just got out of control. I was like, I swear, he's such a dick.
So your drinking became Lance's brisket.
No, it never got to that level.
Oh, okay.
It never, right. Because I didn't, I mean, I was just like, I told one guy, he was like, yeah, why do you do that? I drink mine straight up. I was like, well, good. You drink it how you like it. AJ can drink it how he likes it. I'll drink it how I like it, and we can all bleep off together. How about that?
Yeah.
I just, why you gotta alcohol shame me? I like it how I like it. You know, it's at least it's not like, you know, I'm not out here drinking like fruity pina coladas or none of that. I'm sticking with whiskey. Leave me alone, AJ.
Jerk. Yeah, well.
That's how he is. It was pretty funny. I ain't gonna lie.
With AJ, it's just another day that ends in a Y. It's just that's just par for the course.
Yeah.
We talked Typical. About this yesterday, but evidently a day after news broke that Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott had a little house party that went against social distancing. Dallas Cowboys executive VP Stephen Jones said the organization has talked with both of them because of the fact that it violated guidelines regarding the coronavirus. Jones said, I think they're certainly aware now of how sensitive these situations are. I don't think you'll be seeing that anymore. They're certainly guys we have the utmost respect for, and I certainly know they understand the sensitivity of the situation we're in today. It's certainly serious. It's something we know, and certainly now they know and understand. I don't think you need your employer to tell you those kind of things, but okay.
Yeah, that's...
And if you're going to do something like that, probably encourage people to leave the phones at home. Put them in the car. We don't need still photos and videos from the party to absolutely justify and verify that everything happened.
Yeah, that's it's almost like you like going to a Chappelle show. You got to be like, hey, no cell phones. No cell phones. Got to put them all in a bag or something like that. Which, by the way, I didn't know how they did that. I was at the Improv, and Louis C.K. was coming into town, and so they had to get all the – like the way you do it is you get this bag and it's got a lock on it. And it's some like almost like when you buy a shirt at the mall and they've got those little tags on them, those security tags.
Yep.
Well, in some way you get this bag, you put your phone, your watch, whatever. They scan you. They have like a metal detector. They scan you. They get all your electronics, put it in this bag, and then they close it. They're the only ones that can open it. So you
really?
Get that bag, you... yeah, and then you can watch the show. You hang onto the bag. It's got all your stuff in it, but you can't open it and record. You can't do anything. But you talk about if you're in a hurry to leave, well, it's going to take forever. You better leave early because could you imagine the line to get out of a show with like that?
Do the same thing at the Masters because at the Masters, obviously, you're not allowed to take pictures or, you know, have the phone ring and they're still old school with, in terms of, you know, bothering golfers and whatever. So the minute you walk in the front door – they have like these mailboxes and essentially the same thing. You give them your phone, you fill out some card or whatever like that. They tag it, put it in one of these little mailboxes. And then on the way out, you got to remember to get it and you got to make sure you get it. And like I said, the other thing that was crazy about that is we had gotten the tickets the year I went from someone that's had them for a long time, and I think they've always had six. And one guy was like, kind of like what you were saying, Barry, he didn't want to deal with the fact that, one, he could miss a couple calls that he was still doing business, and two, he didn't want to deal with a line when he left. So he kept it in his shirt pocket. He bent over to tie his shoe, and it slipped out of his pocket. And one of the other members, because they're everywhere. Obviously, being a member, one of the bonuses is you're going to be at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Someone saw it.
No.
They saw... evidently somewhere or another they were able to trace like who he was. They traced where his tickets came from, and the dude got a letter in the mail the week after the tournament that says, due to a blatant violation of Masters rules and the fact that you had a cell phone on the premise during tournament action, you now will get 5 tickets next year instead of 6. And any continued violations will see us continue to whittle down the number of tickets you get.
Wow.
Oh, dude, they are sticklers.
Now, I mean, that doesn't seem – I guess that is a severe punishment to have one of your tickets taken away. Is that a – I mean, like, are you like, oh, because, I mean, you can't sell them. You can't scalp them, right? I'm guessing.
Oh, people do. People do. You're not supposed to, and I don't know how they enforce all these different things, but there's a Hooters like about 6 blocks down from Augusta that people park their mobile homes and are selling practice round passes and all these different things. You're not supposed to, but obviously from what I've heard over the years, it's the toughest ticket in sports to get. But if obviously there's a price for everything, and people are constantly making a profit, so they're selling them, but you just can't get caught.
So they don't enforce that, but they enforce one guy with a cell phone. That's pretty interesting,
dude. It's really weird because they say that only at the Masters you can get there at 8 a.m. and drop 2 lawn chairs on the 18th green because you want to see them finish. Go do whatever you're going to do for the rest of the day, and those chairs are going to be there waiting for you. No one's going to move them. No one's going to throw them out of the way. Those chairs are going to be there when you get back, because they're all about being polite and stuff. But, like, I thought I told you guys this one time. The year I was there, Joey Harrington, the quarterback, and 2 guys that were his teammates with the Dolphins were next to us, and we were watching the guys hit on the 15th par 5. And over your left shoulder sitting in the bleachers, you can see the 16th, which is a par 3, and it's right there. Well, Joey was telling us that during the tournament, he found out he was related to Patrick Harrington, so he became a
really?
Patrick Harrington. Yeah, and so he became a Patrick Harrington fan, obviously. So Patrick Harrington's playing 16 while we're watching the guys on 15. Well, he hits it close, and Joey Harrington goes, "Yes!" And the lady next to him turned to him and said, "You do it again, and you won't be back." And
are you serious?
He's ready to drop F-bombs and whatever. And I grabbed him. I was like, "Dude, wait." And he looked at me, and he was like, "No, man, F that." You know, blah, blah. And I was like, "Bro, if you don't know, if she's a member, she really can do that." And he settled down for a second. And, you know, to his credit, he didn't say anything. But we saw her badge when we left, and it said member. I was like, "Bro, you'd have been, bye-bye." There just would have been.
Wow.
Yeah, they are serious at Augusta. So.
Wow.
That's a little Masters history for you. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Plenty more to get to as we just wrap up hour number 2 of the show. 60 minutes on the clock when we return. Final hour comes up next. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Also, with a lot of things going on with the pandemic and everything with the coronavirus, you probably got a lot more time around the house. You may have realized that your roof needs some work, whether it be just some shingle repairs, a leak, or you're thinking about doing more. The best thing you can do is call Fitz Roofing, 832-521-3001. Always a good idea to check with Fitz Roofing before you do anything, but right now it's better than any other time simply because of the fact that their workers need things to do. And I've talked to the Fitz family themselves, and they've told me that what they want to do for the community is call them up. They're going to do a free no-obligation inspection today, and they're going to tell you what they can do. In a lot of cases, they're just going to do it for you. They're going to do the minor repairs and the work because they want their workers working and collecting checks, and they want to give back to the community. So they're going to do these things for you while we deal with this very tough time. It's a great thing by a great company for the people of Houston. FITCroofing.com online, or you can call them 832-521-3001 and set up that free no-obligation inspection today. Do it. It's worth your time because at Fitz Roofing, they're making a difference one home at a time.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.